thank you for trying to get my views on the current situation. I can say that it's not just the Ouagadougou agreement, it's all the agreements that when they reach a certain level of their implementation always encounters some difficulties. And the Ouagadougou agreement, which we all thought that was going to put an end to this kind of situation, is also undergoing the same problem. The thing of it, the Ouagadougou agreement, of course, compared to all the other agreements, has been the most efficient, has been more efficient, more effective on the ground, with the fact that there's no more conflict, there's no more fighting on the ground, and then we've been able to make significant headways, as I always say. But now, like I said, we've covered 80% of the trip. Now we have 20% left, and that's where we notice some problems with regard to its implementation. Like there are, for us to go to free and fair and transparent and democratic elections, there are some tasks that must be completed before we do that, to, of course, ensure that the coming up elections are free and fair and democratic. So what are the tasks? The first task is to have the reunification of the country. On the paper, it is said that the country is reunified, but it's not the case on the ground. This is not what, if we have in a, like I was saying, I say that on the paper, you know, the reunification of the country has been completed because the president was able, with other dignitaries of Africa, to go to Bouaké to announce the end of the war and then to talk about the reunification of the country. Bouaké has even been nominated the city of peace. But unfortunately, it's been noticed on the ground that things are not as effective as they should be. The redeployment of the legal or the state authorities, like the préfet, sous-préfet and them, is not very effective on the ground. Their mission is a bit into conflict with the authority exercised by the com zones of the Force Nouvelle. So it's not just something that we notice. It is something that has been noticed by the UN, the African Union, the Special Representative of the Secretary General of the United Nations. All of these bodies and personalities and political groups have noticed that. So therefore, it became very difficult to talk about a country being reunified on the paper and not seeing that on the ground. So now that we have completed 80% of the roads and we need only 20% to achieve what is left, it's important that we move forward on that line. The second area of action is the disarmament. This must become a reality. Not only does the disarmament and the non-reunification of the country collide with the constitution of the country, but it makes it very difficult to have free, fair, and secured elections in a secured environment. So the issue is that this must also be completed. So when you read the communique that came out of the meeting, they say that the tax that is left must be achieved so that free and fair elections can be held in the country. I think for the Peace and Security Council of the African Union to state that, it means that they are in phase with what the president has been saying over and over again, that we need to have all these bodies like the African Union, the ECOWAS, the UN Security Council to put pressure on the signatories of this of the Ouagadougou agreement so that the last steps, the 20% that we have left to have free and fair elections are completed. That's what you should get as the main thing coming out of this communique.
Who is not stepping up to the plate to ensure that this thing comes into fruition?
You know who is there are there are two entities involved. You know that there's what we call the CNO zone, the zone controlled by the Force Nouvelle. Some part of Bouaké, up north, and then somewhere in the west. So they still have their command forces based there. They are raising taxes. They are conducting some economic activities which are totally illegal compared to the situation of the whole country. Because we cannot talk about unity of the country's resources when there is a system up north, in the center, and some part of the west where they are still collecting money, engaging themselves in some trade business with all the different resources that they can have there. So therefore, I'm not going to say they are the main responsible for the blockade, because the prime minister is their leader, and he's doing the best he can to try to work on it along with the president side by side. So what we need is that maybe he also needs the support of the international community so that he can put more pressure on his people. Also, the facilitator, the mediator, His Excellency President Blaise Compaoré, probably also needs that support so that his work can be more effective. He's doing a lot, but do not forget, he's also the head of state of a country. The country has its own problems, so he has to deal with his own domestic problems. He cannot spend more than half of his term resolving problems of other nations. So he needs, as Cote d'Ivoire is a member of all these institutions or international organizations, what we need is their backup so that we move forward effectively. And if they come on the ground, like we just received a mission from the UN, they have seen themselves. They went on the ground, they saw the thing. I think they have to make an objective assessment saying that we went there, we saw the situation, we talked to all the parties, and for us, this is where the blockades come from. If the Comzone chiefs are no longer there, if the disarmament process becomes a reality, then the Ivorian can hold free and fair elections as the world is demanding. I think today it is wrong to pinpoint say the president is responsible, he doesn't want elections. I think this kind of analysis is wrong. It means that the people who are talking like this are not here, do not have any kind of real knowledge to make a clear and objective assessment of the situation. What we want to tell the world today is that we want to have elections, but our constitution says the elections can only be held in a country that is reunified, in a country and that it's not possible to hold elections when one part of the country is still under the command of a group or an individual and the country is separated. So that's the issue right now. And I think that from what came out, the Prime Minister said that the voters list process will resume this month, next week, by this month of May, the process of the disarmament and the regrouping of the combatant in the zone they are controlling will take place. So we think these are significant decisions, important decisions that will help us move forward. Now let's see what it takes on the ground. Let's see how it moves on the ground. That's why we are talking about the support of the ECOWAS, the African Union, and finally of the UN Security Council.
Lambert, as you said, that it is wrong for people to blame President Gbagbo for the lack of progress. But some people said that his unilateral move of dissolving the Electoral Commission contributed significantly to the delay in the elections.
You know, the president was obligated to dissolve the Electoral Commission. You cannot accept that somebody being a chair of an Electoral Commission fraudulently introduced more than 400,000 people in the electoral list, saying that he did it as a test for his own good, for his own sake. I mean, a person like this, you know, the first thing he should have done when the thing was discovered was to ask for his own resignation. He did not want to resign. He started creating problems. The facilitator received him in Ouagadougou, and the same advice was given to him to resign so that he can facilitate the process. He refused to do that. And the president has the power within our constitution through Article 48 to dissolve the Electoral Commission and the government if there is a need for such a decision to be taken. The president, believe me, did not write the constitution. It's a constitution of the people of Cote d'Ivoire. All the different parties agreed that that constitution was the good one, was even the best. So what the president had no choice. Had the former chair of the Electoral Commission, had he accepted to resign, we wouldn't have gone through this delay we had, because it took almost 3 weeks to have him, to have this decision taken, because he was refusing and he was creating some unnecessary conflict and tension in the country that was seriously going to jeopardize the whole process, the whole peace process. So he's gone. A new chair is appointed. He was not chosen by the president. He belongs to the PDCI. That's it. So how can the people blame somebody who is not responsible for the organization of the election? This is this is the question.
Lambert, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
After the voter register is reopened for another round of registration ahead of the election, when do you roughly think credible elections could be held in Cote d'Ivoire?
Listen, for me, the voters list is not really the big problem. The big problem we have now is the disarmament and the reunification of the country. Under no circumstances, these elections will take place if these two tasks are not completed. The whole world must, the whole international community can say what they want, but in their own countries, will they accept to organize elections with people still armed and controlling one part of the country? They will never accept that. So therefore, what I'm trying to say is that they need to put pressure on all the parties. I'm not excluding any party, including the president's party, the president himself, putting pressure on everybody so that each party plays concretely its role regarding these two important tasks. Because you cannot, and the latest development of what happened in Bouaké, I think you followed the news, is indicative of the fact that it is more than urgent to have the disarmament before the elections are take place. Have you heard what happened last week in Bouaké?
I heard about it.
Okay, so if the people get up one morning and they start shooting each other, I mean, how can you hold elections in such circumstances, in such conditions? You know, what happened there is a proof of the fact that it is more than necessary to have the disarmament before the elections. Because if tomorrow results are out, one group can get, they are still armed, they can start shooting and say, we don't recognize these results. What are you going to do? What is the international community going to do then? After so many people would have been killed, died, what are they going to do? They're going to sit there in New York, in Addis Ababa, in one of those big, big meetings and say, we express serious concern. But this is the time to prevent this concern from happening. That's why I say that they have to support the Ouagadougou peace agreement fully, as they endorsed it, so that the two tasks that I just mentioned to you are completed. Because the latest development of the thing in Bouaké is a clear signal of what can happen if the elections are held and these people are still holding their arms.